Hello, everyone. This is Giulio Coraggio. I'm the location head of the Italian Data Protection, Intellectual Property and Technology team. Today, I'm really honored to have as our guest, my colleague, Andy Servin. Andy Servin is one of the most famous privacy lawyers in the world. And we have the honor of having him as the co-chair of our global data protection, privacy, and security practice. So, Andy, thank you for accepting my invite. And I'm sure that this episode will be super interesting.
Oh, happy to do it. And always great to chat.
Yeah, Andy, I was reading a couple of weeks ago one of your papers that was arguing how new US legislation is introducing an obligation on the board of companies to monitor privacy and cybersecurity risks. Can you expand a bit on what that is and what implications are for any sort of business?
Sure, no, happy to. And so in the US, our system is, we obviously have states that form a unified federal government, but obviously there's state laws. And for companies, corporations in the US, they're incorporated under state law, not federal law. And so as a result, one of the main things you look at when assessing the duties that the company owes the shareholders, the board owes the company, the officers of the company, is state law. And very similar to Article 3 of GDPR, it's very much similar to an establishment type analysis, right? Which is if you have an establishment in a particular state, that state's laws apply. And it isn't just on data protection, it's more on those duties we talked about. And so what we're seeing is this evolution of, you know, thinking, frankly, where you're linking up state law in many cases for US companies. About 60% of the Fortune 500 are headquartered in Delaware for other reasons. And, you know, in some ways you can almost think of it as the corporate version of what we see happening with Ireland at times for, you know, EU data protection, right? And so people choose a favorable jurisdiction, Delaware tends to be, so they choose that. But that sets the duties of all of the officers to the company and then, you know, ultimately how the company relates to the shareholders. And so what we're really saying is, look, you've got to look at not just what the data protection laws that apply to your company are, whether that's California, New York, you know, whatever it is. You also have to look at that through when you're making decisions about how to govern these things, what's the law you look to for governance? And the answer is actually not the particular data protection law. Mm-hmm. It's the much broader issue of US state law. And so most of the time that's Delaware. You do have a related issue, which is we're seeing a lot of churn around Securities and Exchange Commission. Just for viewers who may not be as familiar with the US system, Delaware law really sets the duties for the officers in most cases. The SEC doesn't set duties as much, at least for things other than maybe accounting. What it does is it requires disclosure to the market and the potential buyers or buyers of securities. And so that's the interplay. Is the SEC tends to focus more on external disclosure. The state laws in Delaware tend to focus more on internal disclosures and duties that people may owe the company or shareholders. And that's how it all starts to fit together.
Yeah, are we talking about a regime of personal liability for board members, or it's a sort of compliance of the company, of the group?
There can be, and under state, so there obviously can be SEC actions where people are, you know, gone after. Usually that's not the board, although it's possible, but there is potential personal liability in all of these things. Now, there can be insurance, and there frequently is insurance, but individual board members could get sued, and so that's, there's a lot of intricacies of Delaware law that go into that. But yeah, this is not there's a compliance aspect to some degree, but the most likely way it gets brought up is shareholders suing the company or individual officers or directors for liability for not doing something that causes the stock price to drop. That's usually how it plays out.
Yeah. You've been advising one of the largest companies in the world. Based on your experience, what are the strategies that these companies put in place in order to monitor privacy and cyber risks in a business that is so global, that it's so broad that it's difficult to control for a board that sits in one place?
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, it's a great question. I think when you, and I don't think the answer is different necessarily under foreign law either, but when you look at the duties, but also what the requirements are to make a company function, let's just even take it out of law, there's really four things. And this is coming straight from Delaware law, but I don't think the answer changes anywhere, which is there has to be a business strategy, there has to be operational resilience, there has to be legal compliance, and there has to be financial performance. And so what we're starting to see, I think in the US maybe, and I think this gets translated a little differently in Europe, but I think in the US, what you're starting to see is people say, you know, the way I'd frame it is cyber is not a risk. It's a root cause. The only risks a business really has is resiliency risk and legal compliance risk. And those are the risk controls, the value drivers are strategy and financial performance. And so I think where boards are starting to go is, yes, it's important to understand to some degree the technical, to some degree the root causes that could cause these risks. But I think it tends to function better, the boards understand it better, when you put cyber really as either it's resiliency risk because you're going to lose a business process you need, or it creates massive legal risk because you lose a bunch of data and you may have a regulator come in and fine you. But cyber is really the reason a risk happens to a company, not necessarily a risk itself. And I think not all boards are there. I think we're starting to see boards evolve a bit. The SEC, I'll note, did have this requirement for cybersecurity experience in directors, and they ended up not putting that in the final rule, which I think was actually a good thing, because I don't know that, I think boards need to understand risk, but I'm not sure understanding the technical cyber piece necessarily helps, because the risk is actually losing a business process in most cases you care about.
No, absolutely. We're seeing even in Europe, the presence more and more of cyber experts within boards. We're going to have the coming into place of the DORA regulation at the beginning of 2025. But with the hype of cyber attacks during the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years, there was more and more the situation where board members were liable because they didn't action measures in order to increase the cyber resilience or the protections of the business. And we had even seen cases where basically they were considered negligent because they were aware of a weakness within the cyber protections of the business, and they postponed investment, giving priority to other investments, and that might also make the cyber insurance not actionable anymore, because that might represent an indicator of a gross negligence. So I think that it's we've seen this phenomenon in the US, but it's a global situation. Andy, we cannot end our podcast without talking about artificial intelligence and all the risks around that. Do you think that the regime we're seeing on privacy and cyber compliance will expand also on artificial intelligence? How are companies dealing with that risk? We've seen over the years that some companies introduce some ethical committees, but is that enough? I mean, once the AI will be all over the place within businesses, would an ethical committee be enough to ensure compliance?
No, it's a great question. Look, I think the way we're trying to look at it is, and again, not from a law perspective, but just from how business functions, there's really three pillars of risk when you get down to it. There's the infrastructure risk, which is the hardware, software, and the backbone, I'll call it, the internet that we know it. There's data that you push through it. And then there's processing risk or computational methods risk, right? And that's really AI as well as ML and the inferior, less intelligent versions of automated processing. And so I think what you have to do is a couple of things. One, I think there is a process for governance, whatever you're governing. And I think it's a five-step process from the paper you talked about, which is, again, a Delaware law concept, but I don't think it's different anywhere, which is have a direction, set a strategy, have oversight, put in controls, measure and report, and have that go back to oversight. That's, again, a very Delaware-centric view of it, but I don't think it changes in any jurisdiction. Then if you say that, then what you want to do is have the same process with different controls around each one of those pillars of risk. So I think, you know, how you defend the and govern risk around the infrastructure is related to, but different than how you would govern risk around data, privacy or not. And then how you govern risk around computational processing is, again, related, but different. And I think at some level, the data and AI piece are more related than the cyber and AI piece, because I think the processing is so inherently enmeshed with the data, because the data really doesn't have value until you process it, and processing can't happen without data. And so I think how that's, who's going to, you know, you can have these debates of who owns it, which I think is, you know, very company specific. I think ultimately what you have to say is you have to have the data people at the table. You have to have the people that understand the algorithms and the output at the table. You have to have the data scientists at the table, and then you kind of figure out where you're going. And I think that's really where the companies are heading with it. There are still some times where you do have people saying, well, I should be in charge. And again, that's a less interesting question to me than who should be at the table and what are we trying to do?
No, absolutely. I would say that within large corporations, there is and the compliance team, the privacy team, and the AI team, where businesses have department, are trying to not to have the all ownership of the AI risk, because it's across different business units, and they know that it's a high risk that they might not be able to control. I mean, and it's going to become even more relevant for their business. Andy, this chat was really interesting. I thank you very much for your time, and I'm sure that we're going to discuss more and more about this topic in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.